Hello.
Hello, hello. And tell us why you pissed Emerson Collins. You were just
okay. We've talked about it before, that the Trump administration has been considering for quite some time rolling back Obama-era protections in healthcare specifically related to trans people. The Obama administration expanded the discrimination protections to include gender identity. And from the beginning, the Trump administration has said, no, we don't think that should be the case. Don't expand to that. They've been working to roll it back. And this afternoon, they introduced the policy to do so. What this means is healthcare providers can discriminate against trans people based on their personally held religious beliefs or because they don't want to. And there are specific instances of this happening. Chase Strangio is a trans legal authority, really. I'm talking about a trans woman in D.C. who was in a car accident and the people who arrived on the scene laughed at her and she died. This isn't about forcing doctors to do trans surgeries they are not skilled to do. This is about ensuring trans people have equal access and protection to healthcare. And they fucked it this afternoon.
Yeah. And it's just one of, today I read that because of COVID, they're not going to be able to change the 2016 Republican platform. So it has anti-gay marriage and everything in it. So it's just like,
you know, they don't really want to change it. And this shit matters because so many trans people's healthcare is basically funded by fundraising platforms. Like the number of GoFundMes that you see for trans people related to their healthcare, they are the most marginalized in our community. This is a direct attack on them. And it is our responsibility to be here, to be loud about this, because I have said many times and I will say it again, if you got your equal rights and went home, you weren't fighting for equal rights. You were fighting for your privilege and the access to that. So we have to be a part of this. And because it relates to the other thing we really wanted to talk about, it's not an accident that they did this today on the fourth anniversary of the Pulse massacre. They rolled this out today on this anniversary. He has a rally scheduled on Juneteenth in Tulsa where the Black Wall Street massacre happened. Trump may be too stupid to know what these anniversaries are, but the other people in that building are not, and it's on purpose.
It is on purpose, and it's like when 4 years later, when many of us were like still mourning today, then you hear this. It's just with what he did yesterday in Dallas to with the Black Lives Matter. It's just one thing after another. So I'm just hoping that this movement and that's going on right now, these protests, that we can actually take this to the polls. It feels like, I mean, that story that you told me the other day, that they're at these rallies, they're actually registering people. And if he just keeps pissing people off, you know, that those dog whistles to that select bullshit, I'm mad because Lady A changed their name yesterday, will, you know, go to the rallies of his rallies.
Yes. And you know that this is just Stephen Miller, like, jerking off his misogyny, transphobia, homophobia, racism, like, all over policies. I swear that that's where so much of this is coming from, is this sad, weird, bigoted man driving these things. Because, you know, on like, really, Trump does not care about healthcare. He is not interested.
No, he cares about himself. That's it.
Well, it's like these Confederate statues. I swear the only reason he cares about like the base name changes and statues is because in his mind, someday someone's going to build a statue to him, which, ha, hilarious. And then other people are going to want to tear it down because people hate him.
Yeah, well, they will. And who's going to build it even? I mean, he's,
people that'll vote for him.
I was watching CNN the other day, and there was this, I need to start writing people's names down that impressed me, but there was this this wonderfully articulate African-American woman who was talking about how she interviewed George Wallace's daughter and how she apologized because her dad literally ran on racism. That platform was racism. And she said, someday Trump's children, I don't think the children, but maybe the grandchildren will be apologizing for this asshole.
Barren at best. Like Ivanka is deep in this. She puts up one more, that stupid pride post she put up at the beginning of this month. She couldn't even get the rainbow right. She put up a bunch of hearts and she left out the blue one. I was like, you can't even make a rainbow correctly. Also, talk to your dad. But at the same time, it is, you know, in this Pride and Protest series, as we've been talking, I do love seeing in the protests and the activism, people yanking down Confederate statues, actually talking about these bases we named after the worst bigots of this period. You know, people love to get off in the weeds about that. Like, it was a different time and everybody was racist. And yeah, everybody was racist, but we're talking about some people who were actively worse than even their peer group that were terrible. Like, somebody said today, did you see? I mean, I'm sure you've seen. Well, if we tear down the statues, people won't know the history.
Oh, please. I said a long time ago when all the statue shit started happening, I said, just get them all and on one of these bigots' properties, build some fucking warehouse and call it the Bigotry Museum and put all those things so that these assholes can go in and see them if they need to. I don't need to.
Also, it's not like the plaque underneath says this person is racist and was like just defending the right to keep black people as property. It doesn't say that. The statue is not educational. Why are we one of the only countries in the world, I don't know of any others I can think of, that has a massive number of monuments to the losers?
Well, and I remember when I was a kid, and I believe it was in Brownwood, Texas, there was Robert E. Lee High School. I mean, it's, you know, I wonder if they've changed some of that.
They're trying to change those. Also, for people who don't know, the vast majority of Confederate statues were built in the 50s and 60s as a reaction to the civil rights movement. They weren't built in the 1890s. Y'all, that's the reason they're all made out of that weird cheap bronze, because they were like basically mass producing them to be like to black people who were fighting for equality they were promised 100 years before, which comes to the Juneteenth anniversary. And I told you, I'm in a mood. Del was laughing at me earlier because, like, I'm angsty and in general and been a little snippy, and I'm trying to direct it at the correct places. This goes to that intersectional thing we're talking about. All these things go together, right? Black Lives Matter. Two trans women of color were murdered this week. We are talking about denying healthcare to trans people. All of our fights for equality and for equal treatment and equal access are related.
Amen. And it's okay that you were snippy. I'm okay with it. I'm okay.
Well, as we've often said, look, there's certain things about ourselves we're not going to change and we have to accept them. That I'm a little snippy is one that some in my life, some people have to accept. That people are racist and do and say racist things are not things we have to accept.
That's right. That's right. And you're not that snippy. I mean, I as I teach in my writing classes and my acting classes, I go scratch deeper. What's that behavior really about? What is that really about?
It's really about something else. And at the same time, this movement is seeing definitive change, even if not as big as what people want right away. The NASCAR getting rid of the Confederate flags, I would never have believed that.
Oh, I'm not going. Yeah, we'll just go to one of those things where the mud goes on the tires. Go to that. I'm sure they'll have one there. And I guess one driver today said, oh, I'm not going to drive. Well, good. Go fuck yourself and take your flag and shove it up your bigoted ass. That's the way I feel about it. I get so fucking tired of people defending the Confederate flag and saying it's my Southern pride. It is my Southern shame, y'all. And it should be all of our Southern shame. And I, going back to what you said about the statue, see, now I started calmer than you, and now you've got me worked up. Remember when South Carolina, which I love that person that got up there and just pulled that flag down and just like it. They put that up. They started flying that flag during the civil rights movement as a fuck you to the civil rights movement. So let's do our real history, people, instead of saying, oh, no, it's my Southern. I had a discussion when I was playing Timberfell Lodge, and I loved the guys there, but someone was flying a Confederate flag, and I said, do you understand? Do you understand? No, it's my Southern pride. And I marked this black queen over there, and I said, I want you to tell him how that makes you feel. And he said, not so good.
Also, you know, I've always found that argument, like, logically sad, right? Like, if the only thing you have to have pride in is being from the losing side of a war to keep people as property, do more with your life. You know, like, I love being from Texas. It's literally on my shirt, and I didn't even wear this to talk about this. It just, I think it's cute. And Blake's cousin Casey has a t-shirt company. I love being from Texas. I do not like have to be great with everything Texas did to people in the past to be okay with loving being from Texas now. Like, it's the weirdest defense. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I so agree. I mean, did you see the mayor that was going all lives matter? And I don't believe that there is any racism. And you saw the Texas mayor, right? This woman who just looked like she came right out of one of my plays, in the congregation. And I tweeted it. I tweeted the story and I said, I am a proud Texan, but this does not make me proud. This is one of the reasons I left. And when people ask me, well, why did you leave? And I go, well, besides the racism and the homophobia and the bigotry, it's a great place to come from, you know? And there are lots of great things. And I mean, and I say that as a joke in a way, but it's true. There's a lot of fucking bigotry still there. And all you have to do is go read the Twitter feed of Lady A yesterday.
Well, and also, why don't we be proud of being from places that are doing better? You know, be proud of the progress, not of the history. Like, you can, you know what I mean? Like, be proud that our states are doing better, that the South has done better, that we are fighting for equality in the places we are from and live, rather than this weird-ass flag that Black people have definitively said looks like you're just defending the fight for racism, whether that's what you mean or not.
Well, you know, I was like, I went down, you know, you can go down a rabbit hole on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram or whatever. But yesterday, just talking, going back to this, and I know that it sounds a little bit, it's not trite, though. They made a big statement about it, Lady A, they changed their name. And it was as if they massacred babies in the street. You should, and what was crazy is on Facebook, I saw Confederate flags in the comments. Like people, instead of, you know, we've changed ours to Black Lives Matter, they changed their profile picture to Confederate flags. So, yeah.
Like, I mean, great. Show me your racism so we know. I guess there it is. Now we can see you. The Lady A thing, not to fall too far down this rabbit hole. Today, there is a Black blues singer who has had a career for 20 years, whose name is Lady A.
Oh.
And it seems that they did not research that. And so it seems like there's going to be some negotiations or things that need to happen. I mean, clearly their heart's in the right place and they're acknowledging that, but that definitely seemed like that might've been something we should research.
How about Hillary and Company? How about Hillary and the boys?
Yes.
A little trivia for those of you who you don't know that I love music trivia. Hillary Scott's mother is Linda Davis, who had the duet with Reba McEntire, Does He Love Me?
Shut up. I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
See, no.
There you go. I gave you
I love that so much.
I'm pretty sure I'm right.
While he does that, hello everyone and welcome, you know, continuing our Pride and Protest Month series and challenging ourselves and each other to be active and participatory in the important conversations that are happening. Thank you for being with us. Wherever you're watching the broadcast, we can see your comments. Please share the broadcast with your friends. Don't hide us in the corner like a dirty little secret. As we get on through the LGBTQ news and nonsense, hello.
Yes, and welcome, and thank you for joining us, and thank you for letting us rant a little bit. And I promise, and we have no guests today; it's just us, and our guests will be our rants. How's that?
We're enough.
Yeah, we will be enough today. Are you leading us off with a story?
No, yours is first.
I'm going first. I guess I should read the script. All right, we ready for these? All right.
Yes.
In a pair of tweets, Trump said radical left governor at Jay Inslee and the mayor of Seattle are being taunted and played at a level that our great country has never seen before. Take back your city now. If you don't do it, I will. This is not a game. I wish I could do a good impersonation. These ugly anarchists must be stopped. He said, scoot immediately. Scoot. Move fast. Then a domestic terrorist have taken over Seattle, run by radical left Democrats. Of course, law and order. Of course, law and order. That's just not, it doesn't track well. So, see, it's like I would rewrite that. I would go back and rewrite that so it would flow just a little bit better. So Seattle Mayor Jimmy Durkin, the city's first out lesbian mayor, tweeted back, "Make us all safe. Go back to your bunker. Hashtag Black Lives Matter." Of course, referencing Trump being in the bunker, shivering like a chihuahua, which he later said he only went to inspect. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Before William Barr contradicted it, saying the Secret Service recommended that Trump go to the bunker. So I guess Melania needed to go and, you know, do a little inspection to make sure there wasn't dust down there. I've got off the script. So Washington Governor Jay Inslee responded as well, making fun of the typo in the president's tweet. A man who is totally incapable of governing should stay out of Washington state business. Stupid tweeting. Demonstrators briefly took over Seattle City Hall, calling on Durkin to defund the police department and demanding that she resigned. Protesters also have occupied roughly 6 blocks of the Capitol Hill area, declaring it a police-free autonomous zone, and police have vacated their station there but are negotiating with protesters to reopen it. So that's where it all came from, and Trump just thought he could do something, and he did not.
Also, I saw on Dan Savage's Instagram, he and his husband, Terry, went down to this autonomous zone that essentially is like a police-free zone right now, and they said everybody was friendly. They were giving out masks and hand sanitizer. So this very specific form of protest is seeming to work really well, and they're making a very strong statement in Seattle about what they want.
Absolutely.
And then in Georgia, on Tuesday, their election was so badly executed, with many concerned about the problems it creates leading into the important November election. Voter suppression has been an ongoing issue in Georgia. Last year, Republican Brian Kemp narrowly defeated Stacey Abrams in the governor election after many African-American voters reported difficulties voting due to the exact match standard of names. In addition to non-functional voting machines, this week's election saw a ton of difficulties in Fulton County, where Atlanta is, including a delay in absentee ballots being mailed during the pandemic. Many voters waited in incredibly long lines in the heat. Post star and activist Angelica Ross, who hosted that advocate presidential forum last year, tweeted that when she arrived to vote Tuesday morning, she jumped in to help untrained staff begin their operation. She said, "Not only did I vote this morning, but I actually opened the polls this morning. The volunteer staff didn't know how to. I trained them on how to program the voter cards, open the polls, and turn on the printers." Kemp and the Republicans are fighting against mail-in ballots and changes that make it easier and safer to vote. And this really matters because voter disenfranchisement is real. If you make lines really long, it affects people who can't get time off work because voting is a national holiday. That is suppression, that is disenfranchisement, and it violates the right of all American citizens to vote.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, how many times have you gone to the supermarket and there's a big old line, you go, "I'll come later," you know, when it's outside. That's just the way it is.
And it's a privilege for those of us who can. Our last election with the new voting system in LA, I waited 3 hours to vote. It's a privilege that my life affords me the ability to show up and go, "Oh, I can stand here as long as necessary." Well, it becomes classist and elitist to require such an enormous time commitment for people who work jobs or have families, single parents. There are many complications to devoting that much time.
And I did the early voting last time. Remember you, because you did it the day of, and because you love to do that. And I thought, no, I don't want those lines. So I went early right here to the Hollywood Bowl. I live in the Hollywood Bowl, y'all, just right inside it. And there was nobody. Nobody was there. But, you know, I said it the other day, but I just feel like if we can just take this to the polls, and maybe a lot of absentee or piss him off, just vote absentee. And then on the day of the election, we just take our... Well, I voted. Now y'all go vote. And
you know, but as we talk about all of these issues, and one of these answers is it's important that you vote. If it's hard to vote, then that, you know, Mark said they also had a hard time in West Georgia to vote. My friends there had to wait hours and no provisional ballots. So one of the ways a very specific kind of Republican is making it harder to vote, controls who gets to vote.
Okay. All right. Well, on a lighter note, I guess it's a lighter note.
It's definitely a lighter note. But we're trying to keep our, you know, keep the range of the show.
Yeah. So
moving.
So this is about sex. So don't go away. I'm going to talk about sex now.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
By the way, I censored myself and I shouldn't have censored it. I said, well, at least they cannot, Lady A cannot take Lady G. Okay. As COVID-19 lockdown restrictions began to ease in New York City, officials have issued revised sexual health guidance. Okay, you got me right there. This is a suggestion that residents get creative in their sex lives. In the new guidelines, it states sex is a normal part of life and should always be with the consent of all parties. Yes.
Yes.
Decisions about sex and sexuality need to be balanced with personal and public health. During this extended public health emergency, people will and should have sex. They're encouraging it. Consider using harm reduction strategies to reduce the risk to yourself, your partners, and our community. It goes on to reiterate that the way that COVID-19 is spread, but also notes the virus has been found in the semen and feces of people with COVID-19. Okay, it says it's best to have sex with someone you live with. Well, that would be three chihuahuas for me. So that
please don't.
No, not going to go there. Not going to go there. If you do have sex with others outside of your household, have as few partners as possible and pick partners you trust. Talk about COVID-19 risk factors, just as you would discuss PrEP or condoms and other safe sex topics. Ask them about COVID-19 before you hook up. If they're coughing, you know, pass. It says threesome or large gathering increase the risk of the virus spreading. Now, you know, early on when I told you that I was watching that 11-man orgy from Lucas Entertainment and you said that's one more than they recommend. Well, now it's down to three, not even threesomes. That's a large gathering.
Throuples and under, that's it.
That's it. And so those who use hookup apps, take note. If you usually meet your sex partner online or partners or make a living by having sex, consider taking a break from in-person dates and do video dates or sexting or subscription-based fan platforms or sexy Zoom parties. But then we did a story where Zoom was frowning on that. I think they just said that. Or chat rooms may be an option for you. Like AOL? Are they back to the AOL?
They're like reaching back to dial-up.
It's a
dial-up dick.
I was always, that's where you get hard, right there. Oh, is it going to go over? So for sex, it suggests you can wear a face mask covering your face. Maybe it's your thing, maybe it's not, but during COVID-19, wearing a face mask that covers your nose and mouth is a good way to add a layer of protection during sex. And heavy breathing and panting can spread the virus further. And oh goodness. And if you or your partner have COVID-19 and don't know it, a mask can stop that spread and it can also make it a little kinky. Be creative with sexual positions and physical barriers like walls that allow sexual contact while preventing close face-to-face contact. And the other day, I guess many of you are following our friend Leslie Jordan on Instagram, and he found some article where in Sweden, where I guess that prostitution is legal, they put out some guidelines and they recommended the reverse cowgirl and doggy style. The reverse cowgirl, reverse and here. And then,
And also, I mean, a huge resurgence in glory holes. I mean, a wood barrier, you know, go old school, dial up for dick, glory holes, cowgirl.
But semen has COVID.
Yep. So be careful. And also use a mask, make it kinky, make it, try outfits like Valentina on Drag Race. I'd like to keep it on, please. I will say, except from the silly, I love that they covered the full range. That definitely gave directions for sex workers without shaming sex workers. Clearly said, you know, if you're an in-person clients, maybe it's time to try OnlyFans and various outlets that allow you to be as safe as possible.
OnlyFans. They all said the website.
Be like, they need to get a sponsorship. I mean, there's several choices, but that's clearly the reigning example. All right. And in similarly, like, nonsensical stories, 75-year-old John Coolman was at a popular gay bar in Ferndale, Michigan, 4 days before Christmas last year, when he allegedly grabbed a man's butt twice before punching his friend in the face, then offered him money for sex, then started a fight that had nearly everyone inside the establishment throwing punches at one another. Sergeant Baron Brown told a court this week, Mr. Coolman twice grabbed the victim's buttocks without permission. The victim's friend intervened and told the suspect to stop. At that point, the friend claims Coolman socked him in the face. After grabbing the victim, Coolman made a statement to the victim that he had a lot of money and asked the victim if he wanted to go home with him. Employees saw the punch, and as they kicked him out, he began punching them, leading to the brawl. Police said when we arrived, we found a pile of people on the floor in the bar with Coolman trying to get up and get away. He's charged with fourth-degree criminal sexual conduct, which is punishable up to 2 years in prison. Sir, don't grab people's asses.
And those anger issues, Coolman.
Like, the journey of this probably drunk person, let's be honest, grabbed somebody's ass, punched his friend in the face, and then said, can I pay you to go home with me? Like, sorry, I just punched your friend in the face, but I still like that ass that I grabbed, and I'll pay you for it. That's a journey.
And he got arrested. Well,
consent matters. Don't be grabbing people's asses.
No, you should not. But that goes back to what I used to say when in the gay bar, when someone grabs your ass, you go, hey, you know, it depends.
Well, our personal hypocrisies don't change the rules of engagement.
They do not. All right. So Tommy Varela grew up in Ketchikan, Alaska, and plans to marry his fiance, Stephen Kosak, there in August and live there after their wedding. So Varela's mother, Kathleen Grigo Varela, last week called a Ketchikan flower shop Heavenly Creations. There's your clue, heavenly. To inquire about flowers for the wedding and ask if the owner would be okay with a same-sex couple, Tommy said after about 30 seconds or so, the woman responded with a kind of nervous giggle and said, no, I'm not okay with that, so I won't be able to help you. His mother posted about the encounter on Facebook saying, we assume this florist would welcome and support in business, the business of its locals. It never crossed my mind our request for flowers and all things would be denied. Due to this being a wedding celebrating legally the love of two grooms. It was honestly a shocking blow that left me heartsick. They have now ordered flowers from a Safeway supermarket and said the store might not be as local, but the loving and caring way that we are treated by the locals that work there have made all the difference. Yay, Safeway. Well, more than 100 people gathered to protest outside Heavenly Creations last Friday. Varela said, this is a demonstration of love. That love is okay. More importantly, we have an anti-protester with a sign that says, it's okay to be a Christian. Her name was Vera Lisso. There are Christians on our side standing right here now. No one is saying it's not okay to be a Christian. We're saying it's not okay to dehumanize and devalue LGBTQ people's lives. Supporters of the couple have donated hundreds of dollars to pay for the flowers, and Varela and Kosak plan to give any leftover funds to charity. So there you go. Let's make something nice out of this bigot, Heavenly Creations. So if you're up in Alaska, don't go to Heavenly Creations.
I love that the locals that worked at the Safeway were like, yes, we'll make you fancy flowers. Also, She ought to change the name of her store from Heavenly Creations to Begonias and Bigotry. Like baby's breath and bigotry. Like, ma'am.
Did you just come out right on the spot? Did that just come on?
Yes, I was proud of it.
That's a very good one. You did.
It's just so tired of these people. Like, stop.
It's so stupid.
It is.
Especially given that businesses are suffering right now. I bet a few of these bigots are like going, maybe now that, you know, COVID has made us go broke, we should let those homosexuals have their flowers.
You know, or, you know, rocket science theory. Why don't you just demonstrate Christ love and let them worry about it with their creator? Shut up. I'm so tired of that. Anyway, in fun and sad news at the same time, I love how many people are using their platforms to really talk about trans lives and Black Lives Matter. Beloved Olympian Adam Rippon announced the other day he had donated to the Okra Project, a charity aimed at helping underprivileged Black transgender people. Then fellow skater Alexei Yagudin of Russia, the 2002 gold medalist at the Olympics, in a now deleted Instagram post, referred to transgender people as Earth's mistake, asking, "When will you die?" In response, Rippon decided to donate even more to the organization, but in Yagudin's name, saying, "When Olympic gold medalist Alexei Yagudin found out I donated to a charity that helps Black trans people, he said he couldn't wait for people like me to die. Because of that, I feel inspired to donate another $1,000 to the Okra Project, but this time in his name. There's so many homophobic, transphobic, and racist people in sports, and it will not be tolerated. It doesn't matter how well-respected they might be in their own sport. If they're hateful, they suck. He apologized, but I don't accept it. He can take his apology, homophobia, transphobia, racist comments, and his Olympic gold medal and shove them up his ass."
Yeah!
I love petty for a good cause.
Oh, my goodness. And I love that he went on a rant. And he was like, no apology. No, I'm not going to accept your apology. Fuck you.
This isn't something you said a decade ago. This isn't where you could demonstrate that you have made progress in your life to be a person, the nonsense things you said once before. This was your response to his post. Take your apology and your gold medal and shove it up your ass.
Well,
also, that'd be painful.
For some.
That disc is sizable.
I think that one thing that we're all observing is that when someone is forced to apologize, it doesn't feel, you know, when they're outed, when it's suddenly like, okay, you are a horrible human being, everybody's coming after you. Oh, now I'm sorry. It doesn't really resonate, you know?
And
you
also,
you got caught.
And also, there is a difference between things like, I made a thoughtless joke, I did a dumb thing, I said something and now I understand how it could be received by people in a way that I didn't mean and that was hurtful. You know, like, there are scales. Saying, "When will you die?" There's no color to that. There's nothing beyond literally saying, "I wish trans people did not exist." That is not where we can have a conversation about growth and doing better and demonstrating works since the terrible thing. There is no gray area in that conversation. Fuck all the way off.
Yeah.
And on a side note, we love doing the show. We love that you all join us. Obviously, we are out of work entertainers. We literally got news today that one of our projects is pushed to next year. We don't know when we'll be able to work and make money. If you are somebody who's donated to all of these important causes right now and still have money left over that you would like to share with us, we will happily take it from you. You can Venmo me at Emerson Collins or send us PayPal, beardcollinshoresproductions@gmail.com. Truly, thank you to those of you who can and do. It's appreciated. It is needed. I will be frankly honest. And to those of you that can't, no shame, no worry. We are thrilled that you're here, that you share the broadcast and are participating with us. This is just for people who can and want to support the work that we are doing. It's all in the banner below.
And yes, we're very grateful, and we know so many people are struggling right now. So, only if you can, and the Lord leads you.
If you won't miss it, is the way we say on every project.
What's that?
What'd you say?
3D Jesus. If 3D Jesus behind me leads you, if he's calling you for that Venmo, then do it. But
he could call some of his followers.
Oh, that's true. That would be helpful.
Call that woman at Heavenly Creation. Say, shut up.
Speaking of his faux followers, Franklin Graham is back in the news, and he had some thoughts on President Trump sending the federal troops out and tear gassing the peaceful protesters so he could take a photo of himself outside the church holding an upside down Bible. Franklin Graham wrote in an op-ed, "I was asked if I was offended by the president walking out of the White House, which is his backyard, and walking over to St. John's Church. Offended? Not at all. This made an important statement that what took place the night before in the burning, the looting, and the vandalism of the nation's capital, including this historic house of worship, mattered, and the lawlessness had to end. And I am not offended that he held up the Bible. As a matter of fact, I was encouraged. I appreciate it. The problem we are facing in this country is a spiritual and moral problem. New laws and more government giveaway programs are not the answer. I'm disappointed that some of the president's harshest critics about going to a church were clergy. They should be thanking him rather than criticizing him."
Just so exhausting. You know, it's like there's that performative speak when we can just see right through. Like, it's just so tragic and sad.
I just love that the word moral comes up. There is no morality in this man or in this man who made these statements. It's just like, come the fuck on.
He was literally asked, "Is that your Bible?" And his response was, "It's a Bible."
It's like, where's the Bible? Where's the Bible?
Can you imagine Donald Trump doing Bible drill? You know, he doesn't know where a single book in the Bible is.
Well, you know, Corinthians 2nd. What did he say? Corinthians
2. Corinthians.
2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians, is that what he said?
Like, sir, you have never been in a church. Nobody in the history of ever has called it 2 Corinthians.
Can you imagine Donald Trump singing Amazing Grace anywhere?
You know what? You know he thinks it's about the Amazing Race.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
That was new, too. I've never thought of that before. Right. Amazing Race.
Well, I don't think he would sing.
Because he thinks it's about white people.
Oh, Amazing Race. That's what he
Or thinks. The TV show.
Well, you know, and his favorite, he did have a favorite hymn as a child. It was Jesus Loves the Little Children. He had a different version of it. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, white and white and white and white, they are precious in his sight. Have to give props to Greater Tuna Plays.
Correct. I love it. Bless his bigoted heart. All right, a fun celebration in the trans community. You know, it's been a tough week with two black trans women murdered and J.K. Rowling and all of that nonsense. So a celebration. Rosemary Ketchum has just become the first openly trans person elected to office in West Virginia. And when she takes office, will be one of only 4 LGBTQ+ people to hold public office in the state. She had the endorsement of the Victory Fund, which issued a statement from President and CEO, former Houston mayor that we know and love, Anise Parker, saying Rosemary has shattered a lavender ceiling in West Virginia and will join the growing number of out trans elected officials serving nationwide. Trans people are severely underrepresented in elected office. We know Rosemary's race will inspire other trans people from conservative states to consider a run for office in their communities. That virtuous cycle is the key to building trans acceptance and political power. She was elected to the Wheeling City Council, and her priority issues include advocating for affordable housing, addressing homelessness, the opioid crisis, and improving infrastructure, all things that affect the trans community specifically as well. She said, "We have too many systemic problems we have to address, including homelessness, addiction, and disenfranchisement. People don't feel like they are part of their community. And one of the things we have to focus on is why people are not feeling like part of the change." So huge excitement and support for Rosemary Ketchum and her ability to influence the Wheeling community in West Virginia.
And then a quick little follow-up on Chicago. We had the Chicago police officer who yelled a faggot at protesters. He's now been identified, and the Civilian Office of Police Accountability recommended that his powers be stripped. It's like his superpowers. They're going to take him away.
I mean, but great, but progress being made. They'd identified him, taking the power that he has in his position away, you know, demanding change, whether leaders want to or are reluctant to, leads to change.
You know, we're seeing so, I mean, yesterday I woke up to it, Matt Hayes, our good friend, who sent me this tweet where this woman filmed this Karen, these Karens. I love poor real Karens that now have this name Karen is being associated with these racist white women. But did you see that one, Emerson, where she filmed her? The woman went to the police station after calling her the N-word, and she just followed her right to the police station and confronted her right there in front of, it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
Yes.
She has a mental breakdown, and it has been shared maybe 54 million times on Twitter now. So this woman's face is everywhere.
I'm going to take you out and put you right back in because one or two people said there was an echo. See if this helps. That's right. See if that helps at all. And it's Pride Month. And for many people, it's still a journey to coming out. So I want to share a higher profile coming out journey. Actress Kyler Lee, she plays Supergirl's lesbian sister Alex on the CW series Supergirl. And she was also Meredith Grey's younger sister on Grey's Anatomy. And she penned a heartfelt coming out letter on the Create Change website, an organization she helped co-found. She posted a message saying, "When I was told my character was to come out in season 2, a flurry of thoughts and emotions flew through and around me because of the responsibility I personally felt to authentically represent Alex's journey. What I didn't realize was how the scene where she finally confessed her truth would leap off the pages of the script and genuinely become a variation of my own in real life. My heart felt like it was going to beat out of my chest each take we filmed, every time presenting another opportunity to get those honest words out of my mouth. Though they don't exactly match my personal dialogue, the heart behind it surely did." Now, Lee was born in North Carolina, raised in Virginia, and wrote about how Alex's coming out spurred anti-LGBTQ rhetoric from some of her friends. She said, "Here's the kicker, though. Since that episode aired, I was told from dear friends that they would no longer watch the show because of the fact that Alex's journey took a turn from their less than acceptable beliefs. Soon after, they began to distance themselves, and eventually my family and I were outcast, marking the loss of many folks we loved. It's been a long and lonely road for both my husband and myself, but I can wholeheartedly say that after all these years, he and I are still discovering the depths of ourselves and each other, but through our journey, we've learned to be proud of who we are no matter the cost." She and actor Nathan West have 3 kids. And I felt like that speaks so much to our experience coming from, it sounds clearly like religious place in the South, and even being a very successful actress, still having that be the reaction from people who say they love her and say they love her show, saying they couldn't watch it anymore because her character came out.
Well,
so we are still on that journey as well. You know, it's legal and social and cultural and religious. We are fighting these battles on many fronts at many levels.
All right, just back to silly news. A man in India went to a hospital in northeastern India claiming he had ingested some earphones. According to the hospital's general surgeon, doctors had to perform surgery when they could not find what he said he had, and they prescribed him laxatives. The surgeon said he came to us after 5 days, and despite asking stool several times, the cable did not come out. So they had to conduct a surgery, and the patient complained of severe pain. They decided to perform the surgery, and they found out there was nothing in his intestines. An X-ray then revealed, they should have started with that, the man had a 2-foot-long charging cable in his bladder, which was inserted. It's hurting to read this. Yeah, his urethra. I mean, how in the world, Emerson? It's just like, why would you? That's a lot of effort and a lot of
now. I know that there is a particular kink referred to as sounding that is about sticking things through your urethra, but a 2-foot cable, sir, were you trying to pull it out your mouth? Like, what? You know, that's. And at some point, you have to be like, stop. I'm not, you know, that's too much.
Did anybody else cringe hearing that story? Like, when I read it, I was like, really?
Also, the other thing about, like, once you get to the hospital, stop lying. you know, whatever the embarrassing thing you did is that is the reason you were in an emergency room or in pain, you got to be like, I don't know. I tried to fuck my phone and stuck a charger up my penis and now I can't get it out. Like, you got to just say the words.
Or you could say it more, you know, my urethra.
That also means
for medical.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is what y'all, like, once upon a time, I definitely had to say to my doctor, you know, my anus. It felt weird. It feels weird saying to your doctor, my butthole. But like he had extra procedures because he didn't tell him the truth. Like, he spent more money rather than just being like, I know you're going to think I'm weird, but I stuck a 2-foot cable up my penis and I can't get it back out.
And what was going on with your anus?
Nothing. Just like, you know, in general checkups and things like that.
Check my anus. Just check it.
You know, I'm a man now. You know, I'm not 20 anymore. It's important to be, you know, checking up on health things.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But then the nurse practitioner was very professional about the things. Well, I wanted to bring it back a little bit because when we took that Tuesday off and really wanted to focus exclusively on Black queer people and Black Lives Matter last week, we didn't get to do a wrap up on the Drag Race finale.
Oh yeah.
So, did you watched it? Yeah.
I did. Of course I did.
I thought they did a really great job of figuring out, you know, interesting, unique things to do. To make a visually compelling show and still feel like it was still a competition.
I mean, you know, just Dolly saying she was Leslie Jordan that was enough for me.
I mean, just that shot of Dolly sitting in her drag closet, because that is what it is, a drag closet, was worth the whole episode.
I was wondering, did you think that Dolly decorated a little bit, or she just walked in and that's the way it is?
You know that, I mean, she might have spruced it up a little bit if it was messy, but I don't, that would have been way too much set dressing. She might have dragged
those two boas. I'm going to move them over here into the camera. It was a fantastic shot. She looked great, and that was hysterical. And of course, I knew about it a couple of days before. I'd helped Leslie with his response with it over here, social distance filming.
It was sad to not have the enthusiasm of really seeing the finalists perform in front of a big crowd and have the energy of the crowd. But I did love the, like, close-up lip sync, which, by the way, I felt like Gigi won the close-up lip sync and then Jada won the big performance lip sync.
Yeah, I was worried about Jada actually at that point. I thought, okay, Gigi's going to sneak in behind here and win. And if y'all don't know, Jada won. And then Crystal Method, she just did her thing, which was great, you know, but I love her.
Oh, so much. Like that, like puking the baby birds. I love that she got to show what her drag is. I mean, I thought it was a great representation of different kinds of drag. And Jada was on the upswing for me to the finale. And I thought she absolutely earned the crown, particularly with the energy and magnetism of the final performance. And so, but I thought it was great. It was a great energetic finale, despite the limitations. And now we're on to All Stars.
I wanted to ask you something, Emerson, because you're such an aficionado when it comes to Drag Race. Like Gigi Good is from LA, is from Los Angeles. And we don't have as big of a drag, you know, performance place or anything here, like, say, the Rose Room in Dallas or Lips in Atlanta. But I'd never heard of her before this. She just sort of came out of nowhere. I mean, I don't remember her ever at anything. I mean, I'm not as social as you, but I was wondering, had you?
I didn't. I mean, I'd seen her on Instagram, you know, because she was definitely a big Instagram look queen, but she's also really young.
All right. The same thing is that I was surprised that, you know, with that, we were talking about the All-Stars, Angina is LA.
Oh, yeah. And but it has been for a long time. That, like, Angina, Mayhem Miller, Morgan McMichaels, you know, the real L.A. local queens that have been around for a long time. It's Vicky Box, Ray Latrey. You know, there is a hardcore central group.
Right.
I loved the first All-Stars episode. I love seeing people do what they want to do. I was very disappointed Derek Barry went home because he's such good television.
I know it. I was shocked they sent him home because that feud that he has going with that
India Farah.
Yes, I was like, I need to know more about that feud.
Yes, the, like, behind the scenes Las Vegas drag, and apparently it's been going on online this week as well. I love that. Because I do like juicy drama that doesn't matter. You know, like this is just interpersonal Queens at the Club drama, and I can get very invested in that. So I'm thrilled that All Stars is rolling right on and we get more Drag Race for a while.
Yeah, I'm honestly just getting to know a lot of them because, I knew Blair St. Clair, who is so beautiful. That is, like, really amazing drag.
Yes.
And, of course, Shea Coulee, I remember Shea Coulee, and who else did I remember from it? I guess that's about Mayhem Miller.
Was recent for you. My two big rootings are Shea Coulee and Jujubee. Juju's one of my favorites back from the Raven, like the early seasons. I like a lot of these queens, but those are the like I really want them to push. I love Blair's like new confidence. I'm excited to see Miss Cracker perform with less of
us. I love Miss Cracker. I was so happy. Now that one, she's pretty amazing.
She hits in that smart, witty place that I love. And I'm hoping that with her confidence issues and that sort of self-esteem problems from her season out of the way, she can shine. But like Juju and Shay sort of have my heart in seeing how it goes.
And, you know, every now and then we have to admit that there's some good distractions. And for me, that's one of them. You can just kind of, I love on Friday nights. I can just get a little stoned and watch Drag Race. That's my thing. And eat it.
And it's celebrating our community. You know, people can have qualms and issues and with various things and whatever. But it's a huge platform for entertainers doing really interesting and fun things. And I love that. Well, y'all, first of all, you know, it's just us and we've got a few minutes. Does anybody have any questions, comments, any particular thing from the week you want our thoughts on before we head into our Friday nights of things?
Kathy says that you crack her up, Emerson. You crack her up.
You know, we try to educate, inform, challenge each other, and also entertain. Oh, Matt asked, who would each of you choose as Joe Biden's running mate? Well, I'll tell you, Ma, it's easy. I would choose Elizabeth Warren. I know it's not going to happen, but she is the candidate that still speaks most directly to my progressive heart with thoughtful plans to address systemic capitalism issues and economic issues. That would be my dream choice, even though I know she's not really on the list.
Well, who do you think is up? I mean, Stacey Abrams rumored, Kamala Harris. What's her name? Viv?
Val Demings. Is that
I love her, actually. I've always loved her in those. She gets fiery. I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
In his safe world, I feel like Kamala is the choice. I think she's always been the choice. I don't think there was. I think great considering other people, but I feel like they work together in the Senate. You know, Joe is a safer man in the direction of progress and things. I would be surprised if that's not the decision.
She's very, very good. I was on her train early on, and then she lost the steam. The steam.
Kamala's in the category of like I had five people, you know, before Joe in my as they all slowly got knocked out. But Joe's the choice. We're gonna drive him home and do better, and we're gonna push him to do better and be stronger on issues we care about, and drive him to enact the policies we want. Anything else, y'all?
Stacey Abrams would be a good pick. Someone said, and Miss Val from Florida.
Yes.
Then they've moved. Oh, they've moved that Republican convention because they weren't
to Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. And that is so like, I'm not
correct.
Sure. I'm not sure I'm going to win North Carolina now because of Joe Biden. So I need Florida. And I love that he's claiming he's a resident of Florida. I mean, he was New Yorker for so long, but now he's a Florida resident. And y'all, can I just say that I hate so much Kaylee McEnany. I just cannot stand her. Yeah. I dislike her worse than Sarah Sanders. I really do. I mean,
well,
her justification and then the fact that she wears that fucking cross, it just not the cross, you know what I'm saying.
Yes. Well, Kaylee McEnany's in the Candace Owens camp of it's pure opportunism. It's just like Kellyanne Conway. It's like this saying these things is a way for my personal advancement and my personal opportunity. For better or for worse, I think Sarah Sanders actually thinks some of the ridiculous things she said, coming from Mike Huckabee and that specific kind of bigoted religious conservatism. Kayleigh McEnany, it's pure opportunism. CNN gave her a platform, and CNN did this.
Yes.
CNN gave her a platform because she was willing to support anything Trump said on those panels to have those back and forth conversations. Right. Trump saw her and liked her, and now she's in the White House.
You know who I was thinking about, Emerson? I'm just going to go off topic. I was thinking, where is Paris Denard? We have not heard him speak out on the Black Lives Matter movement.
Good.
Anyway, well, we've covered a lot today, but going back to, you know, I'm wearing this today for the Orlando Ribbon Project, where I stopped by and they gave me, I am on the wrong side. I do that all the time. But to remember those 49 that lost their lives. And
yes,
just that, I don't know. You know, you go to those places where you go, I remember waking up that morning, that Saturday morning, and it was LA Pride. And did you know about it the night before?
Because I'm a night person, I was in Laguna Beach doing buyer and seller. We were in between the two parts of shooting a very sort of wedding, and I was up late and saw it happening on Twitter and online and was watching the live feeds out of Florida. So yeah, I watched it happen that night in real time.
Yeah, I woke up to it and I remember it was just, I remember how emotional it was. And then the fact that we had Pride that day, and there was that moment where do we go? And they had actually, and then on the news comes that they had arrested someone coming to our Pride with some bomb or something. And I thought, I have to go. I don't know about you. We can't let them do this to us. And, but anyway, this is 4 years ago, these 49 lost their lives. And there has been no progress, really, not that much on gun control. So,
we remember them today. We lift up the Orlando community. You know, it was a Latin night. Check on your Latinx queer friends today. You know, we often, as we've seen with Black Lives Matter, we as white people aren't as aware that there's a tragedy and there's a double layer of a tragedy for people that are marginalized in multiple levels. So be kind to each other. Rest yourself. Take care of yourself. We're in these fights for the long haul. And we're grateful you all joined us today. And do want to also, you know, as we talk about this, thank you to Jonathan and Allison for your contributions to our show. We are grateful to the people who can contribute to us being able to continue to do this. We do try to work hard to bring you stories we think you'll care about, stories that you want to know about, and those little donations do support us.
And shout out to Victor and Erica. There's so many that have been very good to us. And Bob, thank you.
So, however you spend your weekend, take care of yourself, make time for yourself, and jump back into the fights.
Give each other some virtual love. We love you.
Bye, friends. Bye.